Who of you were blessed by the worship? Come, let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Yes, Lord, we want to say thank you for the gift of worship. We want to say thank you, Lord, that you have touched our hearts and that through our lips the Holy Spirit can bring praise and worship, glory, adoration, and love to you. We do declare, Lord, that you are the Lord of lords and you are the King of kings. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we love you, Lord. We love you. We glorify you. We praise you. We exalt you. Yes, Lord, we declare that there is none like you. There is none like you. You deserve all our praise. You deserve all our glory. You deserve our adoration. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are phenomenal. You are spectacular. You are the one and only living God. You are the healer. You are the redeemer. You are the savior. You are the deliverer. O Lord, we praise you, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, please come and fill this place tonight. And please manifest the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst, the healer. Oh Lord, there are people here tonight that need your touch. Some of them need to be healed. Some of them need to be delivered. Some of them need a breakthrough. Some of them need change. But all of them need you. Because it's all about you. It's all about you. Without you, Lord, we are nothing. We are going nowhere. But I praise you that you are part of our life. I praise you that you are our Lord. And we honor you and we bow before you tonight. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. I read this to you a couple of weeks ago, but I want to start with this scripture again. One day, it comes from the book of Luke chapter 5, from verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Do you hear that? And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Look at your neighbor and say, the power of the Lord needs to be present tonight. You see, it's not about a man. It's always about God. God is the healer. Even Jesus needed the power of God to be present before the supernatural power of God could touch somebody and change their life forever. But I want to say something to you. The power of God can be present in any meeting if we welcome Him in. This is why we worship. Because we welcome in the healer. We welcome in the deliverer. We welcome in the Savior. We welcome in the King. And when He's there, the power is there. When He's not there, we can all go home now. Because what are we doing here? We're wasting our time. This is very important. And the power of the Lord was present for Him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him to the house to lay before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, take up your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up on his feet in front of them. He took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Now listen to this. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe, and they said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Right. This is an amazing account of one man whose life will never be the same again because he met the healer. He met the Savior. He met the Redeemer, the Deliverer. He met Jesus. When you meet Jesus, prepare for change. When you truly meet Jesus, your life cannot stay the same. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care how big the rubbish is that is in your life right now. Jesus is the answer. Please look at your neighbor and say, "Jesus is the answer." Oprah just thinks she knows the answer. But Jesus really is the answer. Amen? Dr. Phil? He lost the plot a long time ago. Jerry Springer, he's never been on the map. But Jesus is the answer. Now, this man is paralyzed. He cannot walk. But he got some friends of his. He mobilized them to take him to a place where he heard of a man that could change his life radically, drastically, and forever. I want you to listen to me carefully. This paralyzed man did not accept his lot in life. He made a plan. The world today is too full of people that are too quick and too willing to accept their lot in life. And it better not cost them a price, because then you're asking too much. I was saying to my team that I get a lot of emails of people that want me to pray for them. Now, I'm a very busy man, and I only have so much time. So I can't pray for everybody all the time because I just don't have the time to do that. But you know what? Every Sunday we are here, and even if we leave at 1 o'clock at night, we stay here and we pray for every single person. Then I have people from Benoni telling me that it's too far to drive to Springs because, you know what, it's too far. Guess what? I come all the way from Walkerville to get here. I travel almost 100 kilometers to get here to pray for you. But for some people, it's too much of an effort to travel the 20 kilometers to get here. Guess what? You're not going to get healed because you're not willing to sacrifice to receive from God. Apparently, some people like the situation that they are in. Because when you ask them to give a sacrifice to receive something from God, oh, but now you're asking too much. Did you see this man? He can't walk, but he makes a plan. And probably his friends weren't really in the mood to take him anyway, but let's just say that he kept on bugging them and bugging them and bugging them. Listen, you guys, please, this is my life we're talking about. Please don't be like that. You know what? If I'm healed, tomorrow I'm going to do something for you. Tomorrow I roll a stone out of your way. Please just come to my house. Help me. Yeah, but you don't understand. You know, this is Jesus we're talking about, and there's like a multitude of people around him, and we're not going to get to see him. I can just hear his friends saying, oh, you know what? It's probably not going to work. Did he accept that? No. Can I tell you one thing about this man? His healing started with his attitude. Because his attitude was right, he was always going to be healed, because this was a man of faith. This was a man of commitment. This was a man of perseverance. This was a man of dedication. His attitude was right. And his healing started in his heart, because his attitude was right. He refused to accept circumstances the way they were. And let me tell you something. There must have been a lot of people that said to him, listen, young man, you were born this way. Or let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you fell off the scaffold, you fell 15 meters, your vertebrae are crushed. There's nothing left. Don't waste the rabbi's time. Just make peace with your circumstances. There's a couple of you, yeah, the devil is trying to convince you to make peace with your depression, to make peace with your liver condition, to make peace with your feet, your legs, your arms, whatever. If you're going to make peace with it, you're going to have to live with it. But what if I was to say to you that there is a man that can change everything about your life? There are some of you, the devil wants you to make peace with your financial situation. You know, your financial situation where you have to be like Usain Bolt and the bank manager's after you all the time, you know? I don't know about you, but I don't want to make peace with nothing about that. Not when somebody can change my life. Not when somebody can change your life. Mr. Wilson, you better not make peace with your circumstances, my son. Hey, you better not. Because Jesus can change them. So here we have a man, an interesting man. He's lame. He can't walk. I don't even know if he could move his arms. Who knows? Maybe he lay there in his bed and he kept crying and crying, irritating the heck out of his neighbors until they couldn't stand it any longer. And they went and they picked him up and they said, okay, even if it's just to get peace in my life, I'm taking you to Jesus. Then I can just imagine. They get there. Did you hear what the Bible says? They couldn't get close to Jesus. Now here's his four friends, yeah? Or his four neighbors. Already grumbling all the way to get to the place where they're going to now bring him to Jesus to pray. Then they get there, all these crowds. You see, we told you, you're never going to get to see this man. Why don't you just stop this nonsense now? Go home like a good little boy and stay in your bed. Make peace with your circumstances. He wouldn't. He said, guys, we've come this far. Come on. We're not going to give up now. Make a plan. Can't we do this? Can't we do that? You know what? Eventually, chitty, 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 they made a plan. Who knows how they came up with that? I don't know. But somehow, they made it onto the roof. And when they made it onto the roof, they somehow, I don't know if they broke the roof, who knows what they did, but they got him through the roof and they lowered him in front of Jesus. And this man got healed. I want to say something to you. Sometimes for you to get to the place that God is going to change your life is going to take some commitment, some perseverance, and some sacrifice from your part. And I want to say this to you, and I'm sorry if I have to step on your toes, but if I have to, I have to. We've become a very comfortable generation. If everybody doesn't do everything for me, then I'm not interested. What do you mean I have to travel all the way to Springs or I have to go all the way to Cape Town? Listen, yeah. In the days where Jesus walked the earth, if you did not go to him, you did not get saved. You did not get healed. You did not get delivered. Jesus did not do house calls. Did you read that in the Bible? The people that got healed were the ones that got up early in the morning and took a 20, 30, 40 kilometer slog to the next town to see him, to receive from him. And the ones that stayed at home embraced their problems. The gout did not go away. The migraines did not cease. The nightmares never dissipated. The fear remained. If you want something from God, you must be willing to sacrifice something from your side. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's effort. But if you are not willing to sacrifice, you're not going to get very far with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you are not willing to sacrifice, you are not going to get very far. And this is where we have a problem. Even in the church, we expect everybody to do everything for us. That's not right. I told you, this man, his healing started in his heart. His healing started with his attitude. There are some of you yet tonight, you yet tonight because you need a change. You yet because you need a breakthrough. You yet, some of you need healing. Some of you need deliverance. The devil wants you to get to a place that you say, ah, you know what, my problems is not that bad. Don't you dare make peace with your problem. Don't you dare. You better be like this man. When his friends wanted to turn around and go home and say, oh, there's too many people, he said, don't you dare. Make a plan and get me to that man. Listen, yeah, you think I've been screaming up to now? I'm going to scream 10 times worse if you take me back home. But I'm not going home. I'm seeing this man, and God will change my life. Do you know what God saw there? Do you know what Jesus saw when this man came there? He said, man, I haven't seen such faith. Go, your faith has made you whole. Amen? Your faith. But you know what was it that turned into faith? It's called sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice. And in the end, he got his friends to understand they must also sacrifice. And when we bring a sacrifice before God, we get his attention. You want to get God's attention? Bring him a sacrifice. The very first sacrifice we read of in the Bible, Cain and Abel. Abel brought a good sacrifice. Cain probably brought a grumble, grumble, moan, moan sacrifice. Guess which sacrifice caught God's attention? When Abel's sacrifice went up, it was pleasing to God. Abel was willing to sacrifice something to get God's attention. Cain was probably hesitant. He was probably complaining and moaning. And, oh, now I have to do this. I have to go and chop wood. I have to build an altar. He sounds like a teenager. What, you expect me to do work? Yes. Matthew, are you listening? I'm just checking. But in the end, that sacrifice caught the eye of God, touched the heart of God, changed his life. Now, listen to what Jesus said in the book of Luke, from verse 20, Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven, which we saw later on. He simply meant, take your stuff and go. You are healed. When Jesus saw what they went through to get to the place to just come close to him, he said, wow, this is faith. I want to ask you a question. Who of you is here tonight because you want God, you need God, you desperately desire God to touch your life, to change your life, transform your life, either heal you or deliver you or prosper you or whatever? Just wave at me. Then I want you to listen to me carefully. You better be willing to sacrifice. Because the moment God sees that in your heart you are willing to sacrifice, God looks at you in a whole new way. Amen? Everything about you is different. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about sacrifice. This paralyzed man had an opportunity of a lifetime. He had the opportunity for his friends to take him to a man by the name of Jesus, who the Bible says at that moment was under the power of God. And the power of God was available for healing to take place. I want to say something to you. The power of God is available tonight as well. And the power of God tonight is not just available to heal. It is also available to cleanse, to change, to transform, to deliver, to prosper. God can meet any need. You name the problem, Jesus is the solution. And you know, we're in a much better situation than what this man was in. Because we can have Jesus every time we get together. This man had to be where Jesus was right there, right then. And if he missed it, he missed out. You can come next week and Jesus will be here again. And the week after and he will be here again. Do you understand? But something is never going to change. Are you willing to commit? Are you willing to sacrifice? Because that's going to change things. Let me show you some interesting things about sacrifice. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15, it says, though through Jesus, therefore, let us continuously offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Do you know what we were doing just now? For some of you, we were worshiping. For some of you, we were praising. But the Bible says we were offering God a sacrifice. Now, I want to ask you a question. What type of sacrifice did you bring before God? Who of you like Mr. Bean? Mr. Bean, do you like Mr. Bean? Of course you do. Did you ever see that one where he's in the church and they're busy singing? Did you see that one? Now he's in the church and they're busy singing, and now Mr. Bean's version of singing, you know, it's like mumbling, grumbling, hallelujah, you know. Probably I didn't do it very well, but it's something to that effect. Okay, to get the nasal thing right, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't think Mr. Bean is sacrificing nothing there. He sounds constipated, but he's not sacrificing nothing. What was it that Abel brought that touched God's heart? A sacrifice. He gave his best. He gave his best to God, and because he gave his best to God and he gave it with the right heart and he gave it with the right attitude, God could not ignore him. It demanded God's attention. Do you want to demand God's attention tonight? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. This is just the way the kingdom of God works. When your sacrifice comes before God with the right attitude, if you give your best, immediately God's like, what? This one. Tonight something's going to happen for her. Or like that one. Yes, his hairstyle is very weird, but I'm going to touch him tonight. Amen? I'm only joking, eh? Listen, yeah, your father's laughing, but he has no hair. Just ignore him. Just ignore him. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You're still shaping it. Amen. Louis, you save a lot on hair products. It's okay, don't worry. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continuously offer to God a sacrifice of praise. I want to say to you that something has not changed. In the Old Testament, God expected sacrifices. Today, He doesn't expect you to go and sacrifice Blomiki the cow. Hello? You might need her to get milk, you understand. But sacrifices are still necessary today because sacrifices touch the heart of God. And we can sacrifice to God anytime we want to through praise, through worship. But I want to say something to you. Don't you be like Mr. Bean sitting there in church and just like giving God this like excuse for a sacrifice. When you're going to sacrifice, give your best. You dig deep and you praise Him. You dig deep and you glorify Him. You dig deep and you worship Him. You give God your best, and let me tell you something. Your life will change. Your life will not be the same again. Worship and praise is like a key that unlocks a door to a whole new world of the glory of God. Oh, Rion, where do you get that stuff? I'm going to show you. Prepare yourself. Listen to this. I actually want to read you something. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 10. Let me just quickly find it. The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 33 and verse 10. I'm going to read to verse 12. I want to show you a couple of examples, and then I'm going to show you what I was talking about just now. Jeremiah 33 from verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without men or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and of gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, for his love endures forever. God says, right now, when you look at this place, you say there's nothing happening. Now, I want you to make this relevant to your life. Some of you, there are areas in your life, when you look at it right now, you say, oh, it's like a deserted wasteland. My finances, it's a desert. My love life, it's a desert. My future, it looks like a desert. My job situation, it looks like a desert. Happiness, there's nothing. It's a desert. Listen to what God says. He says, listen. This is what the Lord says, you say about this place. In other words, making it personal, you say about your life. It is a desolate waste. A desolate waste. But then God comes and he says, but I will change it for you. And I want to show you what it is that's going to come with the change. He says, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings. In other words, sacrifices will go up again. And what is going to come with the sacrifices? Joy, life, excitement, hope, abundance. Anybody here need some abundance in their life? Anybody here need some joy in their life? Anybody here feel that your hope has been stolen by your circumstances and God must just please give you tons and tons? If the Israelites needed some sacrifices, probably you need a couple too. Because the moment you bring a sacrifice, you touch the heart of God. The moment you touch the heart of God, He speaks things into your life. I want to take the scripture and I want to use it prophetically and I want to speak to you today. Listen to this. Touch your heart and say, I open my heart and I receive. There will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness. Auntie, you asked for joy, didn't you? Joy is coming again. Amen. I like you. Yeah, there we go. Come. Just look at that woman there. She took that word to heart. Amen. Joy is coming back. Gladness is coming back. And look at what else he says. The voices of the bride and the bridegroom. Okay, this is for, where's that other friend of mine? Dennis? Stop running, son. God is talking to you. The voice of the bride and the bridegroom. Wendy? Must I pray for your ears? Did you hear that? All right. The voices of the bride and the bridegroom. The voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. The moment we begin to praise God, the moment we begin to bring a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship, it changes our circumstances. Is anybody sad in this place? Time for you to praise God. Anybody need more joy? Oh, yes. Time for you to praise God. Listen to this. Psalm 27 verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At this temple will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. What's he talking about? He's talking about sacrifices. But what type of sacrifices is he talking about? He doesn't mention bulls. He doesn't mention cows. He doesn't mention sheep or oxen or anything like that. He says the sacrifice that he's going to bring to God is shouts of joy and praise. And let's look at what's going to happen. Then my head will be exalted. Say this word with me, exaltation. Do you know when you are in a pit, you are sunken down, you are downcast, you are downtrodden, you are downhearted? How do you get yourself out of a pit? The moment you begin to praise God, the moment you offer God a sacrifice of praise, the Word of God says then you will become exalted. And look at this, an added bonus. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Any of you have a couple of enemies in your life right now? Now, I'm not talking about your mother-in-law. You stuck with her. That's just the way it is. But I'm talking about enemies. Any of you have a couple of demons giving you a hard time? Curse of lack, curse of poverty, curse of division, curse of strife, curse of envy. You know, envy is really an evil little thing. Man, I tell you what. Some people just don't want other people to get ahead in life. And sometimes we've got these things working against us. But the Word of God says, under the right circumstances, everything can change in an instant. Did you hear that? Everything can change in an instant because the moment we offer, listen to this, Psalm 27 verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his temple will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. He will sacrifice with shouts of joy. In other words, his voice is going to bring a sacrifice to God. Did you know that your voice can bring a sacrifice to God? Then it's time for you to use your voice in a new way. And you will be exalted over your enemies. Now, I said to you that when we begin to exalt God, when we begin to worship God, when we offer the right sacrifice, everything is going to change. I want to show you three examples that I found in the Bible. The first one that I'm going to share with you is the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When the Israelites saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt with their faces to the ground and they worshipped and they gave thanks to the Lord. Solomon prayed over the temple. The people began to sacrifice before God. As they were sacrificing before God, something very interesting happened. Lo and behold, fire fell from heaven. And the glory of God was so thick that the priests could not even enter the temple. There was so much of the presence and so much of the power of God that came into that place that even if they wanted to, they could not enter. You know what they did? They all fell flat on their faces because of the glory of God that moved into that place. Don't you tell me that when you are in a place where the glory of God is so thick that people can't stand, that things are not going to happen. Because I promise you that it will. That's when you see the blind eyes open. That's when you see the deaf ears hear. That's when you see God change circumstances like that. Things that you've been stuck with for years and years and years that you couldn't see the breakthrough. You receive it in a second, a split of a second, under those circumstances. And don't you think for one second that these things only happened way back when in the times of Solomon. It was put in the Word of God for us to know that this is possible. And let me tell you something. God filled a building. But which house do you think God prefers? Four walls or your heart? If God's glory can fill four walls to the point that everybody falls down, what do you think He can do with you if you offer Him your heart as a sacrifice? My friend, I want you to listen to me carefully because tonight God is speaking to you. When they offered sacrifices to God, fire came down. And when the fire came, the glory came. And when the glory of God comes, let me tell you something. You have no idea what is going to happen. Strange things, but godly things. Amazing things. Wonderful things. Anybody need some fire in their life? Do you want to burn? Do you also want to burn? You better speak to your insurance company. You must put a special clause there. Who else wants to burn? Did you bring your asbestos underwear? Did you? Because if you didn't, I take no responsibility. I want you to see something. When we sacrifice to God, God's fire comes down. And I don't know about you, but I need that fire. I need that fire. It is that fire that moves us. It is that fire that propels us. It is that fire that equips us. It is that fire that gives us the victory that we are looking for. The fire of God is a supernatural fire. You know, when Moses was walking around in the desert and God was just about to change his life forever, he walked past a bush. And this was a really strange bush because it was burning, but it was not being consumed. That is the fire of God. It burns. It consumes sin. It consumes darkness. It consumes the devil. It consumes every devil, every demon, every curse. But it will not consume you. It will empower you. It will uplift you. It will heal you. It will deliver you. It will set you free and it will change you. And I don't know about you, but I need more of that fire. I need lots and lots. Oh, Lord, please hear my cry. I need lots and lots and lots of that fire. But when did the fire fall? When the sacrifice came. You think that that was the only one? Let me show you another one. Leviticus 9, verse 24. Fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat portions on the altar. And when the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell with their faces down. When do we experience the glory of God? When we bring a sacrifice. What sacrifice is God looking for? Don't go to the butcher and buy half a lamb. That's not what he wants. He wants the sacrifice that comes from your heart. He wants a life committed and dedicated to him. He wants a life that says nothing is too much for God. If I have to travel 1 kilometer, that's fine. If I have to travel 20, that's fine. If I have to sit for an hour, that's fine. If I have to sit for 2 hours, that is fine. If I have to climb on the roof and jump down, I'll do it. Amen. I don't know about you, but God's looking for a generation that is willing to start sacrificing to have the power of God in their life. And let me say this to you. It will happen. If we change our attitude, God will change his attitude towards us. You know, there's a lot of people, they say with their mouths, "Oh God, I want your fire. Oh God, I want your power. Oh God, I want your anointing." They'll never have it. Can I tell you why? Because the moment it costs them a price, "Oh, but God can't, surely God can't expect this of me. Surely that's too much to ask for." Nothing is too much for God. Amen. Listen to me carefully. Nothing is too much. No sacrifice is too great. "Oh, but Rion, you don't understand. It's very far." No, it's not. Let's talk again. I know we've shared about these things before, but let's talk again. You remember the multitudes that got fed with the bread and the fish? The Bible says they spent 3 days and 3 nights with Jesus without food. That was one of the greatest miracles that this world has ever seen. They all experienced a massive miracle in their lives, but can I tell you, it took them 3 days and 3 nights to receive it. You know, in the average church today, I'm not trying to step on your toes, but just think about it. If the pastor preaches longer than 50 minutes, Mr. Pochenpool is like, you know, okay, my evil eye doesn't work because God took it out, but just imagine that I'm giving the pastor this, is like, hello? How dare you waste my time? You think Jesus was worried about your duck in the oven? No, he wasn't. For God, a day is like 1,000 days, and 1,000 days is like a day. Time is irrelevant when the power of God is available. The worst thing you can do is pack up and go home, because that's normally when you miss out. And I think some of you know exactly what God is talking to you about right now. They spent 3 days and 3 nights with Jesus. No food, no water. But nobody complained, nobody grumbled. And the next moment, they saw an amazing miracle that I want to tell you they took to the grave. They told their children and their children's children, and you know what? Some of them, that was all they needed to have hope again, to believe in God again, to trust God for bigger breakthroughs. And I want to say to you, that's not the only miracle that they received. Probably for the rest of their life, they received miracles because they were willing to sacrifice for God. I wish we could have one of those people here to come and talk to us and tell us after that day when he received the bread and he received the fish, how his life changed. Because I tell you, they could not be the same people. They saw this man take, what was it, 5 loaves and of bread and 2 fish, and he just kept breaking it and he kept giving it. And I tell you, there was a couple of scientists sitting there that was trying to figure this one out. Yo, the hard drive up here just went crash, boom, bang. Because you can't figure out what God does when God does it. He doesn't have to explain himself to you because he doesn't work according to the laws of nature. He created nature. He can override it if he wants to. You know, when you write the program, a computer program, if you programmed it, you can change it at any time. God is like that. He can change your body if he wants to. He can change your mind if he wants to. Oh, Louis, please, God must change yours today. Yeah, that was your wife that asked me. He can change your bank balance. You know, I like that. When I talk about money, you all say amen. When I talk about changing your mind, everybody's quiet. Like, but Rion, my mind is actually fine. No, I don't have a problem with that. The Bible says it's God's heart to prosper you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. God wants to prosper you. Hello? Check that smile now. And God wants to heal you. And God wants to deliver you. And God wants to change you. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. For God, nothing is impossible. For God, nothing is impossible. You walked in here tonight with a certain set of circumstances. You can walk out of here tonight completely different, completely changed, completely transformed. You know that man? He woke up that morning crippled. Then he heard via the grapevine that Jesus was in town. He made a commitment. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care how many people I upset in the process. I don't care if they never speak to me again. I'm going to kick up such a stink. I'm going to make such a scene. They're going to take me to Jesus, and I'm going to receive my healing. And can I tell you something? When he went to bed that night, he went to bed. He wasn't put to bed by strangers. I actually agree with you. Probably he partied for the next 6 weeks. I don't think he slept much. What am I trying to say to you? You can have a life-changing experience in one day. What your circumstances were when you woke up this morning doesn't have to be the same circumstances where you go to sleep tonight. But are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to commit? What does God want? Does God want to fill 4 walls? No. Can I tell you something about these walls? Right now, these walls are anointed because Jesus is in the house. But when we go home, he goes with us. Then there's no anointing here. Then these are just brick walls. Right now, the power of God is in this place because we are here. But when we leave, it leaves. God's not interested. He doesn't want to live in 4 walls. He wants to live in you. He wants your body to be a living sacrifice to him. He wants you to come to the place that you bring that sacrifice of praise out of your heart. Open your heart and glorify him. Now listen to this. Leviticus 9:24. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat portions. And then when the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell face down. For the second time, we see that when they sacrificed to God, the glory of God came down through fire. The presence of God was so strong that they could not stand. Everybody fell down. I think that's what we need. Georgie, I think that's what we need. You know what? You've tried a lot of other things. Some of you, you've tried positive thinking. Some of you, you've tried hypnosis. Some of you, you've been to a witch doctor or two. Some of you, you've seen a whole bunch of fortune tellers. Some of you, you follow John Edwards religiously. How's that working for you? Probably not very well. So what about tonight you choose to bring a sacrifice to God? How's about tonight you choose to give God something amazing, wonderful, phenomenal? Give Him yourself. And remember, when you give to God, you better give your best. Because only the best is acceptable. You know, in the Old Testament, when you brought a sacrifice, it had to be perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. When you worship, give it your all. When you say thank you from the bottom of your heart. When you tell God He's amazing, mean it. Don't just say it. God doesn't want your lip service. He wants your heart. And when you give Him your heart, your life will change. I want to go back to what happened when they prayed for the temple. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. First the fire will come and then the glory will come. We need the glory. You know, Moses spent some time in close proximity to God on the mountain. The Bible says when he came down, it was like lightning came from his face. The Israelites begged him to cover his face with a veil because the power and the glory of God from him being with God was so powerful that they could not stand in his midst. They could not look at him. What if something like that was to happen tonight? Do you think it can't happen? If it could happen once, it can happen again, my friend. Why do you think it's in the Bible? To tell us how God works. To tell us how these things, explain to us how the kingdom of God operates. The glory of God can come down again. You know, when the glory of God came upon Jesus, just before the crucifixion, the Bible says Jesus was in a place with John and with Peter. And the glory of God came upon him. And his body began to transform. He started experiencing his resurrection body. The two disciples that were with him, they lost it completely because they didn't know what was going on. John wanted to build houses for people and Peter was crawling around on the floor thinking, "What? At the end has come." But we need more of that. You listen to me carefully, we need more of that. So I want to ask you a question. Is anybody ready for change?
Yes.
Is anybody ready for transformation?
Yes.
Does anybody want to offer God a sacrifice?
Yes.
Does anybody need God's glory to fill your temple?
Yes.
I need it too. So I want to say to you, this is what we're going to do tonight. My preaching is finished now. Actually, it's not. I wasn't lying. I was just a little quick to say that. Let's talk about the fire. What did I say to you? What does the fire do? The fire consumes. The fire consumes what is not right for God in your life. Do you have things in your life that you are battling with? Do you have things that you would rather have go? What you need is some fire. You can't wish them away. Some things you can't even really pray away. All the prayer in the world without the fire of God means nothing. Because it is the fire of God that releases the power of God. When that fire comes, things begin to change. Tonight I want to say this to you. I'm prophesying this to you. The fire of God is going to come down in this place tonight. Amen. Amen. Yeah, but Rian, how can you say that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible says when we sacrifice, the fire comes. And when the fire has come, the glory fills. I see in my mind's eye this place in chaos. But not man's chaos. Godly chaos. Because what is godly chaos, which looks like chaos to us, is actually the way God wants things to happen. Amen. And I believe that God's going to bless us tonight in a way that we haven't been blessed before. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to trust God and the fire is going to come down. We're going to trust God and the glory is going to come down. And if you can't stand, you can't stand. So what? And if you only go home 4 o'clock this morning, well, then that's just the way it is. Tomorrow is not a school day. Tomorrow is a holiday. If you get stuck, you get stuck. I'm going to leave you here anyway because the other oak has to lock, not me. Amen? Well, for all you know, I'm going to be stuck next to you. Well, bless God. And you walked in, you're under some curse, guess what? It's going to burn tonight. You got the spirit of jealousy upon you because people don't want you to go forward, guess what? It's going to go up in smoke tonight. Amen? The curse of poverty touched your life, guess what? It's going to disappear very quickly. You got some infirmity, you got some sickness, you got some problem, guess what? There's a good antidote. It's called fire. Amen. It's called fire. And the fire is real. Come stand here. Now she's thinking to herself, ooh, what did I do? No, you did nothing. The fire is real. That young man with the black, come forward, please. The fire is real. What did we do just now? Did we praise God? Listen, yeah, come on, Oaks, you have to just follow with me quickly. Did we praise God, yes or no? What does the Bible say when we offer a sacrifice of praise? What happens? Fire comes down. Oh, I want to give you one more scripture. Did I give it to you? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. When we bring a sacrifice to God, the fire comes down and laps up everything. We sacrificed to God just now. We worshiped Him. We glorified Him. And the glory is in the house. You might not feel it right now, but it's here. The power of God is here. The fire of God is here. All God is waiting for is for us to allow it to go. You see, I want to say something to you about the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. And I want you to hear me now. He's not going to force Himself on you. Your heart has to be right for you to receive Him. If you came here with an attitude, you're going to get nothing. The man that got healed, his attitude was right. His heart was right. He didn't care what it cost him. He didn't care how far he had to go. He didn't care how many people's toes he had to step on. He wanted God. And he wouldn't stop until he received Him. His attitude was right. Don't tell God what to do. Offer yourself as a sacrifice and let God do with you what He pleases. I want to warn you, that's where a lot of people make the mistake. When the power of God comes into the house, they want to tell God what to do. Did He ask you how to make the mountains? And if He did ask you, what would you have told Him? You wouldn't have had an answer, would you? You would have said, what is a mountain? God doesn't need our help. Does the surgeon need your help when you go under the knife? No, God doesn't need your help either. Does the engineer need your help when he builds your house? No. He studied for that. Well, God doesn't have to study. He's God. But He knows what to do and how to do it. The fire of God is in the house. Do you believe that the fire of God is in the house? Now, let me tell you something about fire. Fire is transferred by touch. If I have a stick in my hand and it's burning, and this man has another stick, and I touch the two sticks together, what's going to happen to the other stick? It's going to start burning. You know what? I don't care how many times that stick says, I won't burn, I won't burn, I won't burn. It's going to burn. Tonight, while we were young, I actually felt my whole spirit start charging up. I felt the power of God start working. I felt excited. I know there's fire in this place. In Jesus' name, fire! Son, you are here for a reason tonight. The Lord spoke to me about you. It's time for change. For a long time, you've been ducking and diving and ana-anaing, but God is going to bring you to a place where He's going to change your life radically and forever. There is truth locked up inside of you that has been suppressed for a long time. It's going to start bubbling forth if you allow it. Trust God, put your faith in Him, and see how God is going to change your life radically and totally. Don't look at your past, son. Embrace the future that God has for you, for your future is bright. Your future is amazing. Your future is wonderful. Let go of the things of the past. Let go. Fire! In Jesus' name, bless God. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise.